was going to say with Boise State, I think that's usually because the preseason polls, a lot of the times these G6 teams but by the end of the year, Boise State were like,
correct,
they've got one loss or two losses. What are we going to do with them?
6 was Ole Miss, 7 was TCU, 8 Tulane, 9 Cincinnati, 10 Mississippi State. Memphis checked in at 19.
Okay.
But that it's to George's point. Like, let's see. How many of these would be G6s? All right, 1, 2. Cincinnati and Houston, I would imagine, did a lot of work
in the G6 prior to, because they moved over, UCF, what, 2 years ago?
Yep. So if we count that, then you have Navy,
yep,
Memphis, Army, Western Michigan. Do you know your directional Michigans? All right, Coach, appreciate you hanging out with us.
Yes, sir. Y'all take care.
My basketball coach, your basketball coach, everyone's basketball coach, most importantly, Team Thad's basketball coach. That is Coach Norton Hurd IV. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. We'll also welcome Jason Munns to kick off hour number 3. Stick around. You're listening to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We'll discuss the golf tournament and Tiger basketball with Jason Munns when he joins us to start the top of the next hour. Before we do that, let's get into the list. The third Saturday in October, Pete Thamel reports that Tennessee and Alabama will both wear their home jerseys for the games between the rivals in 2026 and 2027. This will mark the first time since 1970 that they wore Alabama crimson and Tennessee orange in the game, a longstanding tradition to that point. And I think my larger issue on this would be we need more color-on-color games. When USC and UCLA do it, it's awesome. Do we have any other? I'm trying to think. You do obviously run into, like, in the SEC, would this be the best matchup?
Florida, Georgia.
That's a pretty good one. Because the other thing is, you can't obviously have two red teams.
Correct.
I kind of like this one.
Oh, this one's amazing. Obviously, it's so good.
Florida has to wear blue.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Tennessee, Florida would be a good one.
Tennessee, Florida would be good. Florida, Georgia, excuse me, I think would be good.
I guess if...
Could Ole Miss, LSU pull that off?
The problem is LSU just hates wearing the purple.
I don't know why.
I like it too.
Well... They don't have many short players, so that helps them out with that.
Ole Miss is also in that weird spot where do we think they're going to lean into powder as much as Lane did? Because I'm of the opinion, I think Ole Miss's best jersey is the red. I think the red pops.
I think the red looks great.
But he got, you know, he was all in on the powder.
I mean, I'm not complaining. I think it's a great
look, powder's
too.
A great color. I just always struggle with the only reason it's a color is because Ole Miss was so cheap once upon a time when their helmets were sent. They painted them in powder blue rather than navy, and they didn't want to pay to send them back. But it is a great color.
I'm even trying to think. Oh, Texas A&M. The burnt orange and the maroon.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
I think that would look good.
There's got to be contrast.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Like ones where there's going to be a pretty stark difference.
I think I would like Red River.
That'd be fun.
They should wear it. Because I think the crimson is a better color than maroon.
I think that's fair. Does it have to be a rivalry game? I think that's another question.
I kind of like it as a rivalry game.
I think it adds a little bit more pop to a rivalry game.
I do think I like that.
Could we pull off the Iron Bowl?
Yeah, I think it'd work.
The crimson and navy?
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
They're still a little too dark.
I think that, I agree, especially because they play at night. Like, we know that's going to be a nightcap.
Like, would I... Because, like, if he did it in the Egg Bowl, I think almost has to wear navy or powder.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't do that with the red and red.
But now that you got me thinking, I'd like to see if LSU would wear the purple wear purple and then Ole Miss in the red.
That'd be fun. That'd be good.
I think I like that one.
What primary? Well, it's Mizzou. What do we consider their? Because they don't wear a yellow uniform, do they? But they've got the all black, which is a good look.
Mizzou in all black, Georgia in red. Would that work?
That would work, but I mean, there comes the like, what's the rivalry game there for Missouri?
I guess like historically, like if Kansas would wear the royal,
that would look good. I think that'd be a fun one.
But I mean, that's kind of the problem with Missouri. They don't really have like
a long-standing rival in the SEC.
Correct. They have Kansas, and then they had Oklahoma once upon a time. But
yeah. I mean, you could say the same with Kentucky.
I guess black with, and then if Oklahoma wore their crimson.
Yeah, similar thing there with like the Georgia of that. Kentucky wearing the Royals.
Kentucky screws up their jerseys. I don't understand how they do it.
Neither do I.
They have a great
colors,
color scheme, and they
so
screw it up.
I don't know how they don't go with like just a full Royal with white trim, white letters, checkerboard on the sleeves.
Do they even need the checkerboard? It just feels like they're trying to copy Tennessee.
I mean, I just think like when I think of the blue and the white checker, I think, oh, that's their field. Like that's their end zones. That's just what I think.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
the patch on it.
I'm in favor of this.
I'm all in on this. I'm with you. We should do it more.
I definitely think in college football we should do it more. All right, do we have any quarterback intel?
We do. We have some here from NACOS.
I think it was a big scrimmage weekend.
Yeah, fall camp quarterback comps, where things stand at Florida, Iowa, Tennessee, and more. At Florida, I think it's leaning just to be Philo.
You brought in Buster Faulkner, and he brought Philo with him. Like, they can do the song and dance.
Yeah, with Trammell Jones. They're saying that Jones
neck
has had
and neck.
Neck and neck. He's played really well, but Philo's definitely got the edge there. Looks like Keelan Russell has had the better handful of days. Austin Mack has been maybe more consistent.
Well, yeah, when you just hit your checkdowns, you can be pretty consistent.
Well, especially in a Ryan Grubb offense.
Yeah.
Not saying that's even a bad thing. Like, that just keeps the sticks
moving. Keelan Russell's going to be way more fun.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. According to NACO, sources give Russell the edge. Tennessee.
There we go.
This is a fun one. Sources watch practice. Walked away with strong reviews of Faison Brandon. But George McIntyre followed that up with a strong summer, more consistency in camp. But it looks like Faison has had probably the better run of it here lately. Heupel's not going to name a star. I mean, you know good and well Heupel's not naming one until game one.
No, I mean, it gets back to why would they? I mean, it's the Dan Mullen when he was asked, or when he was asked about Charles Huff not naming a quarterback. Well, why would he?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What do we have from Clemson?
I mean, I think technically Dan hasn't named one.
Well... He's not. What did we get there, some intel on that? Some scuttle on that?
There are whispers that Jackson Arnold is not winning.
Do you want to remind people who their quarterback, other than Jackson Arnold?
Alex Orji.
He's been around the block.
He has definitely been around the block. Now, he was going to be their like Tebow package guy, and then he got hurt. So Calandry just became the...
Right, and now Calandry has moved on to where did he?
He is at Nebraska with Dana.
Oh, that's fun. Clemson on here. They haven't named Vezina the starter, but he's going to be the starter.
Yeah, my dumb brain just like I've seen this before with Dabo. Vezina will be the starter, and then they'll
flip it over to Reynolds midway correct. Through the season, especially if things aren't going well with Vezina.
Correct.
Iowa.
So that's the transfer from Auburn.
Yeah, that's Heklinski and Hank Brown.
And
it's
going to
be Heklinski.
Yeah.
Vandy.
I didn't even realize this was a battle. I thought they were just playing the freshman.
in Jared Curtis.
Yes.
They probably are. It feels like they are, but reading what Nakos has, quote, that doesn't mean the Commodore's QB competition is over, Clark Lee told On3. He believes Blaze Berlowitz has put together a strong summer, and his knowledge of the offense stands out, especially pre-snap. Lee wants to see at least one more scrimmage before making a decision. Both could play week one, too.
Okay. It's not good when the highlights of you are he does everything well except when the ball snapped.
Yeah, that's usually not a great sign.
Yeah.
We've definitely seen that before.
We also aren't paying $10 million to him.
I'm surprised this was one in here as well. We've got West Virginia noted.
I believe at one point Rich played three quarterbacks in the same game last year.
Would that shock anybody?
Nope.
Not at all. Sources told On3 that quarterback Michael Hawkins had a strong showing in Saturday's scrimmage. From what sources have indicated to On3, he has a strong hold on the quarterback battle at the moment and has created a lead over Scotty Fox.
All I remember about Scotty Fox is I had BYU last year, and they put in Scotty Fox, and he like marched him down the field to get a backdoor cover. Like he went like 80 for a backdoor cover. And that's all I remember about Scotty Fox.
So this last one that's noted on here, we do have it what feels like a bit of a resolution to. Last one on here is North Carolina.
Yeah, they're going with Edwards.
They're going with Billy Edwards. This report, it sounds like, was this 2 days ago? So Monday over the weekend and late in last week and when a lot of these scrimmages were. The update here. Sources have told On3 that neither Billy Edwards nor Miles O'Neill have really separated themselves yet. Earlier this week, Nakos reported that North Carolina is going with Billy Edwards.
Okay. I mean,
did they have a good option between the two of them?
You brought him in. I mean, I did laugh at how on the QB tiers list, Gio Lopez was ranked higher.
I mean,
than Billy Edwards. And they tried to blame everything on Gio. Now, Gio was not good, I'm going to be clear. But who could have ever foreseen that? Also, over at The Athletic, we have their preseason All-American teams. The first team offense, Trinidad Chambliss is the quarterback. Ahmad Hardy, Kawan Lacey at running back. Cam Coleman, Jeremiah Smith at the receivers. Tre'Davious Green is the tight end. Jordan Seaton, Carter Smith, the tackles. Cade Pieper at the guard spot. Evan Tenguzdal at the other guard, and Yapani Lalulu is the center at Oregon.
Quick note, quick question here. So The Athletic did theirs. This was released earlier today. Correct me if I'm wrong.
The dateline was it released at 5 a.m. today.
Okay, so this is coming after the report on Goosby's injury.
Correct.
Without that in mind, because we know the AP had Goosby in there, but they did theirs going into Monday.
They did put him second team.
Okay, that's assuming that he comes back some point during the season, because he is phenomenal.
I suspect he'll play Ohio State.
Was that week two?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because it's a bone bruise. I'd suspect he'd be in there.
I could see that.
The second team quarterback was Dante Moore. Let's let the season play out. But I think my guy gets
a little bit too much juice.
One too many free passes for every big game he's played in. He's not played well. Also, I believe we got the most top 25 opponents. We've discussed this. Arkansas with 7.
Sorry, Ryan.
Texas and Kentucky also with 7.
I'm less sorry for Texas. I mean,
6 were Oklahoma, Michigan, Mississippi State, Ohio State, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. 5 would be Missouri, Florida, LSU, Nebraska, Northwestern, South Carolina, USC, Auburn, Purdue, Washington, and Minnesota, and only four, Alabama, Michigan State, Stanford, Florida State, Oregon, Wisconsin, Georgia, Tennessee, Vandy, Indiana, Rutgers, Cincinnati.
Is there really, I don't want to say anything to take out of this?
What I would take out of this is I do think if you're trying to pick the top 10 team to fall out, I think your options have to be Ole Miss, Texas A&M, or Oklahoma. Because
just based on the schedule.
Correct.
Yeah.
A&M's is more drastic.
Sure.
But they are all kind of in the same tier.
Right.
The schedule beefed up.
The schedule gets really difficult for those three teams. And weirdly enough, those are the three that we keep seeing the shuffle of that 9, 10, and 11 spot.
Correct.
So they're all kind of in that range anyway to drop out.
The other thing that I take away from this is I think we're probably sleeping on Bama a little bit.
Light slate.
Uh-huh.
Well, who are their conference, or not even conference, who are their opponents that are outside of this top 25?
So you would,
because there are some that could kind of be on that cusp.
So when you look at Bama's schedule,
or it could just be an easy slate.
So what do you think of Florida State?
I don't think any of us are in love with Florida State.
So they got a pretty nice one. So it's East Carolina at Kentucky, Florida State at home, South Carolina at home, at Mississippi State, Georgia at home, at Tennessee, A&M at home, at LSU, Vandy, Chattanooga, Auburn. So I think the ones that you would say maybe
the kind of eyeballs emoji to, what maybe a South Carolina.
Auburn,
of course, especially if Byron Brown is correct, healthy at that point this season, because that dude's awesome. We kind of have no idea what Kentucky is. I think that's fair to say right now.
We have no idea. Also, Kentucky could be an improved team with not a better record.
Correct. Because of that schedule.
Correct. They draw Alabama at A&M, at South Carolina, LSU at home, at Oklahoma, Vandy at home, at Tennessee, Florida, at Mizzou, and then they close with Louisville.
Yeah, that's...
because, like, that's the other thing with like, when you think about it with Ole Miss. Ole Miss has got Louisville to start. Yep. A&M also has Arizona State. We don't really know what they are, but could be frisky.
Oh, for sure. I mean...
and then OU's got Michigan.
We know the offense, at the very least, at Arizona State is going to be good. Michigan, to your point that we keep bringing up, the bar for their coaching,
correct,
year to year between last year and this year, is in hell. So they're definitely going to be better coached this year.
Almost assuredly.
Unless Kyle Whittingham, of all human beings who's been in the game for, what, 30 years, all of a sudden decides, I don't know how to coach anymore.
Well, there is always, I think Whittingham to a degree, and I also think with Matt Campbell at Penn State, it is, when you have been the development guy,
right,
it is not always the smoothest, like, just put a ball coach in there. Like,
is Campbell, I think I put more in that boat. I think Whittingham, having been there and having that level of sustained success at Utah.
I mean, they won the Pac-12 twice in a five-year stretch.
Yeah.
And they basically only fell off when they had quarterback problems.
True.
When they solved the quarterback problem, they were back to... but, like, that's the other thing, is, like, going 10-2 at Utah, is that good enough at Michigan? And probably early, but, like, at a certain point, it's like, who are the two losses? Because there's also the other issue of they lost to BYU three straight times.
I mean, we did just talk that BYU is seemingly consistently one of the teams that appears worse than they actually are.
Yes.
I mean, there is that, but how many of those losses were in the last couple? I mean, you said three straight?
Three straight, and I believe all of them came down to the last possession.
Was that these last three seasons?
Correct.
With Kalani Sitake?
Yep.
Who we all think is a really good coach?
Well, I mean, Utah was changing legislation to make it easier.
True.
Let's take a break. But before we do that, I want to remind you, if you're thinking about selling your home, don't do so without calling my buddy Josh Heisel. Why should you call Josh Heisel? Because Josh is going to make sure that he sells your home for the most money possible. In fact, he even guarantees it. If he can't get you the most money possible, he'll pay you the difference. Also, if you're thinking about getting one of the cash offers that you hear about, you see them on the billboards, you get the unsolicited texts, don't take those. They're for thousands less than what your home is worth. If you want the guaranteed instant cash offer, take it from Josh Heisel, because he'll get your home appraised and he'll give you the market value of your home. He'll even give you a little bit extra time if you need to find a new place. You'll have up to 4 months before you hand over the keys. Again, he guarantees he can sell your home for 100% of the market value. If he sells it for less, he'll pay you the difference. In the rare event that he can't sell it, he'll buy your home himself for what it is worth. Josh Heisel and his team at Keller Williams Realty. The phone number is 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. The website is joshhasthebuyers.com. Let's get into a little bit of NFL news and more when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, George. Of course, we're at the worst part of NFL training camp. This is the part where you start getting the bad injuries.
Which one do we want to start with?
I mean, I think we have to start with Justin Herbert.
Oh, Herbo got hurt? Or well, no, Biotish?
Tyler Biotish got hurt, and so now we can have more...
Woe is me, Justin Herbie.
It's not his fault, ever.
I mean, you know what? I'll give him one out. It depends if they bring back a certain guy whose initials are BB from last season.
So Tyler Biotish, who they did sign from the Commanders to be their starting center... He tore his ACL. Also, we had Jaden Higgins for the Texans tore his ACL.
Yep.
What were the other ones that you were thinking about?
Let's see. Over the week, we
also know Kamara's MCL sprain. He's out for a month.
I think they said minimum a month. Timeline on that one. There was, on the running back note, there was Breece Hall with a groin, hoping to play week one. No telling. It's a groin. What were the other ones? Wasn't Mike Evans hurt as well in that?
Everyone is getting, the substation's getting everyone.
I didn't know that. Oh, wait. Hold on. Because those were joint practices between the Niners and
the Chargers.
The Chargers.
Correct.
Was that in... San Fran? Or were those in L.A.?
That's a great question. Were they in L.A.?
Don't they host the game? Because they play a preseason game usually at the end of these joint practices. Let's see. Wait, that's last week. Why are you showing me last week's?
So I'm seeing in joint practices.
Inglewood.
Okay.
So they're in L.A.
But the substation always.
Lingering effects.
Yes, of course.
Lingering effects.
Of course.
There was a full Pablo Torre on that. I haven't finished it. Did you happen to watch that one?
So I caught the clips. I mean, the problem is there's not science to back it, but now you're at the point where does it matter?
Because it's not nothing.
It's in the head.
Yeah.
There's also the thought that Christian McCaffrey's quote-unquote injuries might be a holdout.
Is it a holdout or hold-in?
Sit-in. A lot of running backs got paid.
True. Well, we always see this with Christian McCaffrey. Is this just part of the cycle?
And also load management.
Yeah, there is.
Do you really need to see Christian McCaffrey
of all people practicing, you know, this early in preseason? I just want to, you know, real quick. Oh, yeah, we're in for a bad one, I guess. He played all 17 last year.
Yeah.
We know the CMC cycle.
A lot of tread on the tires.
Ton of tread on the tires. Can you believe he's already had over 1,600 carries in his career?
Let's see. I mean, what is he in year 10?
No.
9?
8.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I mean, how many of those came in Carolina?
Well, one, half of this one. 6.
I mean, they gave him the rock a lot.
Weirdly enough, most carries in his career last year.
Well, on top of that, it's also, think about it, how many touches?
Oh, that's where I was going next. It is not just the carries. It's He's had 1,658 carries over his career. He's been targeted 778 times. 600 of those for catches. So he's had 2,300 catches or touches in his career.
A lot of getting him the football.
Oh, yeah. Last year, 311 carries, 102 receptions. That's a lot on the body.
And that doesn't also include pass protection.
They have Juszczyk, so they don't usually use him, CMC, that is, in run pro, but still.
I mean, they did in Carolina.
True.
And still, if you're a running back, even if Shanny's setting the edge with a fullback or a tight end, like, there's still plenty of times where you're just...
You're getting popped.
On third down, you're just...
Power.
Stepping up.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, had a great fight between...
Oh, was this the Saints one?
Saints and the Cowboys down in out in Oxnard. We had... which Steiner? Is it Scott's son?
Yeah.
Or is it Scott's nephew?
No, it's Scott's son. You know he's suspended.
Correct. Suspended for 6 games.
Undisclosed.
Uh-huh.
I let Gabe in on that the other, like, last week or something, just because it was hilarious to me.
I was also thinking about this. When did steroids get bumped up from 4 to 6?
My question more so is...
I'm wondering if my guy might have also, like, altered the test.
If you test positive,
it's like there's 4 games. But then if they detect a masking agent, whatnot,
tack on a couple extra.
Correct, you get 6 for
trying to.
But I mean, come on,
us.
The biggest free space in the world is a Steiner going to get popped for the juice. I mean, come on.
I mean, at the very least, he uses his real last name to try and cover it up a little bit.
Well, that's just because probably WWE already owns his name. I'm pretty sure he's already signed.
Brock Recksteiner.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's like under contract. So whenever he inevitably gets done playing football,
yeah, it is. But it is Scott's son. Which, I mean, you're trying to tell me receiver just coming out of nowhere, coming out of Jacksonville State, a very not so lean 6'2", 225.
Yeah, and I mean when he. Like, when you look at his arms, like, you can see the veins. You're like, yeah, no duh.
Right.
I mean, you just got to be better about your cycles.
I guess.
Well, like, the NFL tells you when you get tested.
Oh, they don't do the random tests anymore?
No, that's my favorite thing about the American Gladiators documentary was when they were coming under fire for all the steroids. They're like, yeah, we knew we had to do something, but we also, like, knew if we started testing all these guys for steroids, like, we wouldn't have any talent. So we just adopted the NFL policy. It's problem solved.
Oh, yeah. Nice and easy.
Also, we learned that Will Howard and Drew Aller will be starting for the Steelers against the Jets. There's no way Rodgers is not going to play this preseason, right?
No. No shot. Oh, this was a fun one. I'm sure you'll appreciate this. This was some news from earlier today. The Giants have traded an offensive lineman away. Daniel Falele.
To the Jags.
Yep.
Also, the Giants signed Najee Harris. Colts picked up Keenan Allen. That's going to take some getting used to.
That is going to take getting used to. I also really like that move.
No, it makes all sense in the world. It's like a vet minimum, basically.
pretty much a vet minimum for, yes, a guy who super long career. We know what he's good at. We know what he does. I don't know how we kind of didn't land on this before when we kind of forgot that he and the head coach worked together for, what, 5-6 years prior to this year?
Let's see. When was Steichen with the Chargers?
Mm-hmm.
So how long was he with the Chargers? Because I thought, didn't they get him from the Eagles?
They did. Shane Steichen worked with the Chargers in 2011 and 2012 as a defensive assistant, and then later from 2014 to 2020.
Okay. Also, I do like the Harbaughs just like trading players or just like guys that like, yet again, like Najee going from the Chargers to John Harbaugh. It's just like, yeah. Hey, here's another Harbaugh. That makes all the sense in the world. I was trying to think of the other. What else do we? Oh, I was thinking about this. So yet again, new Highmark Stadium under fire. This time, the field is ass. According to one player report from after the game. Here's the other problem the players have. If you're going to make everything about getting natural grass, you kind of got to play along. Here is the state. The Bills got grassy turf at the old stadium. They're putting grass in the new one. You kind of just have to support it.
It's been one preseason game. You can't go off on it this quickly.
I will say, though, that also feels like a field that is going to be perpetually ripped on. Trying to grow grass in Buffalo, like, that feels like that's going to be impossible. I mean, that's the other thing is that I don't think all of it is entirely designed of just to screw the players or make them give something up in a negotiation.
Right.
Like, Foxborough, once upon a time, had grass. The field was terrible, so then they switched back to the turf.
Yep.
Like,
there are some places where it is just borderline impossible to grow natural grass and keep it sustained for an entire NFL season.
Yeah.
That's not, we want to spend less money on it. That is nature.
Now, I will say the soccer stadiums have me all screwed up. Because they're like doing the, if you look at like, it's not that easy to grow grass in actual England.
Right.
During the course of the soccer season. But they do the blend.
Yep.
Of grassy turf with natural grass. It's obviously super expensive.
Right.
I think they were saying each field was like $7
million. Good Lord.
And I believe it has to be maintained.
Correct.
Now, the NFL, if they could, or if they wanted to, they could do it.
Sure. Absolutely, they could.
But I don't know. I'm kind of over the whole grass debate.
So am I, except for one field. You know which one it is.
It would be ours.
Correct.
I don't know, because they haven't figured out the turf either.
Right. Like, the fact that the turf there itself is still so bad, they have to do something with it.
Did we have any problems in the World Cup? I mean, I don't recall.
They didn't play on turf. They brought in
grass.
But
that's what I'm saying. I don't think MetLife had any issues.
No. I mean, shoot, didn't they play the final there?
They did.
Grass looked pretty good to me.
Which also upset me. We have cool stadiums. MetLife is not one of them.
No.
Like, I did not like, why? I mean, it's obviously the New York of it.
Yeah, there's that part of it. I mean, is it the worst? No, probably not.
It just looks like a giant erector set.
Yeah, it's just build it on, I don't know, one of these building games. Roller Coaster Tycoon, Stadium Tycoon, whatever.
There's like,
there's nothing special about it.
Correct.
I wonder
seats
if
it's a lot of people.
I wonder if it had to be on the East Coast.
Play it in Atlanta.
I don't think they wanted to do it indoors.
there's a roof.
They do have a retractable roof. That's true.
I think they wanted it in New York for money.
I think that's probably the case. I mean, it is FIFA.
I mean, Dallas, like, we have cathedrals.
Oh, if they did that at Jerry World?
Yeah.
Whew. I think they, I mean, I am still in the camp that they should have done more of these games at College Barns.
It isn't the FIFA rule, it has to be an all-seater? I thought FIFA, like, has certain standards.
Oh, wait a
second.
I don't know if it has to be an all-seater. I thought a lot more of that had to do with the space, the extra space on the sidelines. Because the field itself is bigger, and you have to have a certain amount of space for... Because, you know, they have the actual, like,
yep,
built-out outward, well,
like,
benches.
Like, a lot of the stadiums were taking out seats to...
To accommodate
extend
that.
The field.
Yeah.
I think they did that in Atlanta.
And I don't know how feasible that is for a lot of these college stadiums. Because they're, like, you know, like, the seats themselves are, like, built into, like, concrete.
Well, yeah, I mean, like when they played the friendly at Auburn, I mean, Auburn's got... I mean, the end zones are, like, right...
They have, like, no extra sideline.
Like, I think there's, like, 2 yards in between the goalpost and the end line.
Yeah.
So you can't make it longer. Now, they could make it wider. Also, over at The Athletic, do we know how we're watching football this year?
Hopefully on a TV.
All right. Do you know all of the channels... To watch ACC football.
ACC football?
Correct.
ACC Network?
Yep.
Hold on. Are they the ones with USA?
No, but you're barking up the right tree.
Oh, the CW.
Bingo.
My bad. I knew one of them was the CW.
Correct.
I knew one of them USA.
Correct.
And then do they still have ESPN games?
ABC, ESPN,
the family
ACC Network, CW. Also, other channels include ESPN2, ESPNU, ACC Network Extra, the championship game, December 5th, noon on ABC.
That's the family networks. Like,
correct.
I'm just counting that as one group.
Where do you watch all your Big Ten games?
Big Ten. All right, so we've got Fox.
Yep.
Are we putting... Okay, are we saying NBC on any of these?
Yes.
Are they counting that? So NBC and Peacock.
Yes. There was one I think I would have missed, but I should have gotten it.
What is it?
FS1.
Oh, that's right.
So BTN,
yep, yep, yep.
CBS, Fox, NBC, FS1, Peacock, and NBC Sports Network.
They're doing NBCSN for that?
They are.
Okay. Fun.
The Big 12.
ESPN for sure.
Yep.
Big 12. So ESPN / Family Networks, whatever big games,
yep,
are going to get moved, I'm sure.
Yep.
Do they have a Big 12 network?
They do not.
They don't. So there's no
this
like...
This is the direct result of the Longhorn Compromise.
There's not like a... We don't have like a Monster Energy channel, do we?
We do not, but there
That's
was one
shame.
That I was surprised... I think I'd forgotten.
So this one's not the USA. The USA,
nope,
is a G6, if I remember correctly.
Pac-12.
Oh, that's right. It's the Pac. I don't know.
Maybe
what's that
other Mountain
one?
West? TNT.
They have Turner still?
Correct. They also have a secondary deal with Fox. So ABC, ESPN, Fox, TNT, the Deuce, the U, ESPN Plus, FS1 as well.
Well, if they got Fox, I would assume.
And then HBO Max.
Which is their TNT.
Correct.
Copy.
The SEC.
SEC, Family Networks, SEC Network. That's it, isn't
that's
it?
That's it.
Yeah.
All in one place. The American.
Oh, Lord Jesus. The family of networks.
Okay.
I know for sure.
Yep.
We do not have a conference channel, to my knowledge.
Correct. Well, it's plus, just, whatever.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yes.
It's not just ESPN, is it?
CBS Sports Network.
Who's on CBS?
Navy. Navy home games are on CBS Sports Network.
Is that a holdover from a previous contract for Navy?
I think Navy has their own deal.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Navy has their own broadcast.
I was going to say, that might have been a standalone from when they joined the conference.
They are including CBS, but I wonder if that's anything other than the Army-Navy game.
If there was going to be a team that was going to be on any other channels, it would probably be Memphis. I don't believe they have. I know they've got a Fox game on there, but that's the UNLV game.
Correct. That's not their rights.
Correct. Let me see if they've got broadcasters set up. The Boise one, we already talked about. That's the USA, but that's the PAC. And the rest are on either ESPN Plus 2 or
ESPN. I think the CBS game is just... CBS Sports Network is...
Navy home
games. I don't... Maybe Army as well.
I could also see that being a holdover.
Army home games.
But you can, I don't think we can count CBS in there.
I'm pretty
not a conference game. It's not a conference game. We can't count that.
I agree with you. CUSA.
Is CUSA one of the smaller conferences that is on the family?
It is.
Okay.
Not ESPN, though.
No, they just have probably, what, 2U plus.
I do think that there will be some CUSA games on ESPN, but it's all secondary. They also have a deal with CBS Sports Network.
Okay.
That's also where their championship game is going to be.
CBSSN?
Correct. The MAC.
The MAC. I know Midweek MACtion is on ESPN.
Yep.
They're not another CBS, I don't
think. Are.
They are.
MACtion, you'll have, like, usually when we get to MACtion season, it's like one game on CBS Sports Network and then two on...
On ESPN proper.
Correct. The Mountain West?
Mountain West. Fox, for sure.
Secondary, yes.
Is it Fox and FS1?
Primarily FS1.
Okay.
CBS Sports Network, also CW.
They're also on the CW?
Correct. They also have their own app. There'll be a lot of games on Mountain West Plus.
Okay. Good for them. Good for the Mountain West.
They also cut a deal to get like five games on CBS. And this channel does exist. FS2.
Okay. What do they normally show on FS2? What does FS2 have on
FS2
right now?
FS2 is usually a lot of replay soccer.
Oh, like that's not even where we get like the pro fishing championship on or whatever?
No, FS2, if you like flip on FS2, it's usually just a soccer game that's already been played. Maybe some racing.
I'm looking on what is on FS2 right now.
It's usually...
Okay, would you like the fact that we are both right about this is...
I would say, now that you say it, I'm like, yeah, there's definitely some bass fishing on that bad boy.
Wednesday, August 19th, would you like today's FS2 schedule? 8 a.m. through 9:30, Bassmaster, the cast,
there you go.
Your bass tournament. 9:30 this morning, horse racing in York, England.
Okay.
11 a.m., The Climbing Post, the World Climbing Series. They're in China. 12 o'clock.
That better be tape delayed.
Wild World of Western Sports, First Nations Rodeo and Relay Races from Alberta, Canada.
Okay.
1 o'clock, more horse racing, this time from Saratoga Springs.
I was going to say, we're in Saratoga season. Fox has been showing a lot of that.
5:30, Kevin Harvick's Happy Hour.
Of course.
So that's 5:30 through 7 o'clock. A lot of NASCAR there.
I'll just say that's rubbing his racing.
7 o'clock, Canadian Premier League Soccer.
Oh, yeah.
From Hamilton. 9 o'clock.
Those games are played in high school stadiums.
Hamilton, Ontario.
Because for the, like, thing, we have Canadian teams in the MLS.
Correct.
Yeah, that one of these channels was on one of the restaurants I was at in Hilton Head, and the Canadian Premier League came on, and MUS had a better stadium.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So that's on for 2 hours. 9 o'clock, Clay Travis is on. 9:30.
He just signed a new deal.
With Fox?
No, he's launching his own. Well, so he sold OutKick to Fox.
Right. Which is why he's been on Fox for a while.
Correct. He also has, I think, a side deal to the Clay. His TV show appears there. He will also be on Big Noon, but he is also, so I guess he had a non-compete. Probably he had to do 5 years with him.
Right.
And now he's launching another website.
Gotcha. Speaking of repeated games, from 9:30 through the rest of the night, college football greatest games replayed.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
It's been a lot of... That will be occasionally where you can see the greatest game ever played, Mahomes and Baker, where they combined for like 1,500 yards.
The Texas Tech Oklahoma
game. Oh, yeah. But now I've noticed they just keep showing Indiana and Ohio State. The Pac-12, CBS Sports Network, the CW, and USA. They did also cut a deal, I think, for a few games on CBS. The Sun Belt will be on the Deuce, ESPNU, ESPN Plus, with occasional games on ESPN. And then Notre Dame, of course, on NBC, Peacock, and then whoever the road game partners would be. So when they're playing ACC games on ESPN, the family of networks. I did love this one. UConn has apparently also cut a side deal with a local channel, WFSB, Channel 3.
Oh.
As well as a deal with CBS Sports Network. All right, let us take a quick break. When we come back, Jason Munns joins the program. Let's talk Tiger football, the tournament, and more with Munns next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.